Afternoon, this is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church in the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 25, year C. Our readings for today from the book of the prophet Joel, chapter 2, verses 23 to 32, Psalm 65, Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 to 8 and 16 to 18, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. We need not fear, because His Spirit is with us. We are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, because His Spirit is with us. And so we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. We travel in faith, because God's Spirit is with us. Amen. Let us praise God, for He is glorious. Let us give thanks, for He is the source of all good things. Let us worship Him now, for He is the Lord of glory. Let us adore Him, for He is the Lord. Amen. Coming into Your presence, Lord, is like coming home. It is here that we first found You, or rather, You found us. It is here that, again and again, we have met with You, rejoiced in Your love, and found the strength to continue our journey. Again and again, Your majesty, Your glory, and Your power overwhelm us and outstrip anything our tiny, infinite minds could hope to comprehend. Again and again, You remind us that You are not confined by time or place or eternity. Lord, speak to us the word that will sweep away our doubts, strengthen us in our weakness, and provide that opportunity to begin again, which we so long to have. Amen. We have our hymn, My God, How Wonderful Thou Art.
Oh,
We pray the colic for Proper 25, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you promise, make us love what you command. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our parish prayer. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness, all to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Prayer is one of the essential activities as we strive to build our relationship with God. As we communicate with God in prayer, we are able to express our adoration for who God is. We have an opportunity to bring our sins before God and receive forgiveness. We can bring our needs and the needs of others before God and have the assurance that God hears and God will respond in God's own way and in God's own time. The opportunity is also presented to us to give thanks to God for all God's blessings and God's goodness to us and others. As we study the Bible to get a better understanding of God and God's desire for a relationship with God's people, we do so in the context of prayer. We acknowledge that God's word is a lantern to our feet and a light to our paths. We thank God for the word, and we ask that the word would so influence us that we would become doers of the word and not hearers only. We pray that under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the word of God will enable us to love God more dearly, follow more faithfully as disciples of Christ in today's world. When we worship, we continue in prayer, in confession, in intercession, in thanksgiving, and in the Eucharist, we petition God through the Holy Spirit to transform the bread and wine which we offer into the body and blood of Christ, our spiritual food. In prayer, we receive God's blessings before we leave the place of worship. Prayer is the lifeblood of our relationship with God, which is reflected in our relationship with ourselves and our relationship with others. In our gospel last Sunday, from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, we were invited by Jesus to pray and not lose heart. We are invited not to become discouraged and then no longer pray as we should. It is easy to lose heart in prayer because praying right is hard work. It is easy to lose heart in prayer because the devil hates prayer and will attempt to cause us to cease in prayer. It is easy to lose heart in prayer because we are not always convinced of the reality of the power of prayer. Jesus invites us in the parable of the unjust judge to be persistent in prayer. Our prayers are always heard, and God will grant us justice in God's time and in God's way. And God's time is always perfect, and God's way is always best. In our gospel today, from Luke 18, 9 to 14, Jesus presents us with two attitudes to prayer and points us to the true way to approach God in prayer to ensure that we benefit from our prayers. Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Luke chapter 18, verse 10. One would imagine that the Pharisee, who belonged to the religious elite of his time, would be better at prayer than the tax collector, who was considered a sinner, a dishonest man, and a traitor to his people. Luke records that the Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. In his prayer, the Pharisee thanks God that he is righteous and not a sinner. He offers evidence of his righteousness. He gives the correct tithes. He fasts in accordance to the law. He regards his righteousness as exceeding the expected standard. If we look closely at the prayer of the Pharisee, we will see that although the Pharisee went up to the temple to pray, he did not pray. He spoke with himself, not with God. In his short prayer, he repeated the word I 4 times. The Pharisee was addressing his words to God, but the focus was not on God, on what God has done or could do for him. The focus was on himself. He emphasized what he had done and not what was God's will for him. He rejoiced, not for who God was, but rather for who he was. The Pharisee compared himself to other men instead of recognizing that God made him who he was, and in God's sight, all are equal. In contrast, Jesus continues, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Luke chapter 18, verse 13. The tax collector recognized that he was a sinner who needed God's mercy and compassion. He was so aware of his sins and that they came from his spiritual heart that he was symbolically beating his physical heart as a punishment. While the Pharisee thought that he was better than other men, the tax collector acknowledged that he was worse than most men. He knew that God would be aware of who he was and knows the secrets of his heart. He exposed his unworthiness before God. He was a repentant sinner. Jesus concludes, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves would be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted." Luke chapter 18, verse 14. The tax collector was justified because, as a sinner, he humbly prayed for mercy, which God in love would provide, forgiving him and bringing him back into a right relationship with God. The Pharisee believed that he did everything right, and therefore he did not need anything from God. He exalted himself before God. The tax collector, on the other hand, approached God with humility, seeing himself as he truly was. The Pharisee fooled himself in believing that he was perfect, without fault or blemish. Jesus affirms that righteousness that exalts itself over others is not true righteousness. True righteousness begins with the recognition of one's unrighteousness. When we pray, we gain nothing by coming to God with the lie of pride. We are to bear in mind that our hearts are open to God, all our desires are known to God, and all our secrets are open to God. We are indeed sinners. However, because of Christ, we have the privilege of approaching God's throne of grace. We should do so with humility and with the assurance that God can do for us what we should desire. That is, forgiveness of our sins. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. To what end? That we may perfectly love God and worthily magnify God's holy name, all through Christ our Lord. When we pray, we should acknowledge who we are, sinners before God, and recognize God's ability to transform us, to enable us to be truly God's people, doing God's will in the world. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Lord, you know the secrets of our hearts and the honesty of our devotion. Keep your church open and accepting of all who call upon your name. Guide and bless your pilgrim people. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Lord, you are the hope of all the earth. Direct all nations in the way of peace with justice. In the dawn and in the dusk, we will sing for joy. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Lord, you are in the midst of us and call us by your name. Give us cause to rejoice in your common wealth. Bring us to live in harmony with one another. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Lord, you know our needs before we ask. Be merciful with all who travel through the desolate valley of illness and grief. In the dry places of our living, may we all find fresh springs of living water. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. Lord, your love embraces everything you have made. We commit to you all who have died. May we come to dwell with them in your eternal temple. Gracious Lord, let your people rejoice in you. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, Lord, teach us how to pray aright. Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace this day and always. Amen. We just want to remind you that COVID-19 is still around, so we invite you to continue to wash your hands as often as possible for 20 seconds with soap and water. Wear your mask, make sure it covers your nose and mouth, and of course, where possible, keep your distance. We pray that you will have a rewarding, spirit-filled, productive week. And we leave you with our hymn, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Come on, Lord. I